Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Nun Beis. We're beginning on the very last few words of Nun Aleph Amud Beis. And we quote the Mishnah, Ketzad, Osa Maimer V'chule. Now, I mentioned this when we did the Mishnah, Rashi had pointed it out over there. The Ketzad is not a reflection back on the prior Machlokas that we've been discussing in the Mishnah and in yesterday's shiur between Rabban Gamliel and the Chachamim. And therefore, the Gemara is really questioning this funny usage of the word Ketzad. And we turn to Nun Beis Amud Aleph. And Rashi says, this is a Lashon Bismi. We're starting off here with the question. Hai get acha getu? This ketzad doesn't seem to be referring back to the situation of the get acha get, which Rabbi Gamliel said doesn't occur. He says, ain't get acha get, with a chacham hold, get acha get. So the Gemara says, yes. Amar Yehuda, this is what the Mishnah is really telling us. Hachi komar. Get acha get, umaymar acha maymar kidamarin. That's the machlokas that we have between Rabbi Gamliel and the chachamim. We're not going to be discussing that right now. However, Yavam Echod Vivama Achas, in regards to when you had just one Yavam Shimon, and you had the one Yavama, you had Rachel, her husband Reuven died, he's the brother of Shimon, and she falls in Yibam to Shimon. In that situation, Ketzad Hatarosan, that's the Girsa that we have, the Bach adds the word Ketzad Mitzvah Hatarosan. How do we go about permitting her either to now be married to Shimon through Yibam, or that Yibam should not be done, Chalitza will be done, and she's Muteris Lashuk? So that's what it tells us. How do you do this heter to make her muteris lashuk? So also maimer biyavimto v'nosan lo get, in a situation where Shimon first did maimer, but then he changed his mind and he gave her a get. So then, in that situation, to permit her to be muteris lashuk, you still have to undo the zika and sricha he menu chalitza. In that situation, you still need to have a chalitza. Then we quote the Mishnah, also maimer ubaal harei zu kimitzvasa. So the Mishnah said that if the rabbis instituted that you should do Maimer, and he does the Maimer, and then he does the Yibam, he does the Be'ila, he has relations to, Harezu Kimitzvah. So that's the proper way to do this. So Gemara says, Lema Messiah, Lela Rav Huna. Let us say that our Mishnah is in support with what Rav Huna said. What did Rav Huna say? The Amar Rav Huna, Mitzvah Yevama Mekadesh Yachachachbal. He said that the proper way to do Yibam is to first be Mekadesher, do Maimer, and only afterwards bring her into your house and have relations with her and do the Mitzvah of Yibam. The Gemara says, that seems to say that if you don't do Maimer, you're not doing the mitzvah properly. So the Gemara says, no, Ema, it really should say, Af Azeh Kimitzvasa. This is also fulfilling the mitzvah by doing Maimer first. We'll see in a moment, why would you think otherwise? But to do Maimer first and then do the actual act of Yibam, that is also fulfilling the mitzvah in the ultimate way, as opposed to just doing Yibam itself, which is also fulfilling the mitzvah. So where it says, Pshita, again, why would you think otherwise? So where it says, no, interesting. So I might have thought that if you do Maimer, Kivan the Amar, Hosa Maimer V'yavimto, there is an opinion that says that if you do Maimer, it's basically changing around the mitzvah of Yibam to no longer being Yibam. Now it's called marriage. So I might have thought, Parcha heimenu zikas yabin, but by doing the maimer, you so to say are removing the mitzvah of Yibam, v'chala olav zikas erusin v'nisuin, and instead changing it, subtly, you're changing it from the mitzvah of Yibam to just the mitzvah of getting married. That's what you might have thought. And therefore, eim olav mitzvah ka'ovit, I might have thought that if you do maimer and then do Yibam, you're not doing the mitzvah of Yibam, you're doing the mitzvah of getting married to this woman. It's permissible because you are, in fact, not ruining the relationship. It's a heter relationship, but it's not any longer a yavama relationship. That's what I might have thought. So kamash v'lan, that's incorrect. Doing maimer is doing the mitzvah of yibum in the most perfect, ultimate way. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Gufa, this din that Rav Huna just said, I'm Rav Huna, mitzvah siyadmin, the proper way to do the mitzvah is mekadesh, first give her maimer, do kiddushin, and only afterwards v'achakach bal, then take her into your house and have relations with her. But, he said, in bal, if you first did the Yibam, the Bia, and only afterwards did the Maimer, Kana, you did make her your wife. That still will satisfy the halachic obligation to make your wife. So more questions this. It says, in Baal, the Yosa Maimer, well, what does that mean that you acquired her? By acquiring her through the Bila, that's how she became your wife. The Maimer was, so to say, irrelevant. So Pshita, the whole Kanya, the Bia. The minute you have Bia with her, that's when she becomes your wife. The Maimer is, so to say, extraneous, unnecessary in that situation. So he says, you're right, Taka. Ela Ema, what it's saying over here, Im Baal, below Maimer, also Kana. So as much as Rav Huna said that you should do Maimer before you do the Bia, and that's what Chazal want, and that's doing the mitzvah in the most optimal way, bottom line is, even if you didn't do the Maimer, she does become your wife fully just by having relations with her. Ladibar says, Rav Huna had mentioned that you're supposed to do the mitzvah of Maimer and then Bia, So v'atanya loke. So it says that if you don't do that, in other words, you go against what Rav Huna said, what Chazal said, so then you actually get Malkus. Now that seems to imply that it's a Doraisa that you must do Maimer. So how can you tell me that you're Kona if you don't do Maimer? It seems to be that it's a Doraisa that you must do Maimer because you get Malkus if you don't. Someone says, no, that's not talking about Malkus Doraisa. This is talking about Malkus Derabbanon, Malkus Mardus, which is Midirabbanon. This is talking about, the rabbi said, it's inappropriate for a person just to take a woman to his house and have relations with her, and that's how she becomes his wife. This we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. It's true for a regular Kiddushin, even though you can be Makadosh a woman, Bibiya, so that's still an inappropriate way to be Makadosh a woman. Hailing a Jewish woman doesn't get Mekudeshes in that fashion, even though halachically it technically is allowed. So too, whereas Yibum is technically allowed to go and make this woman into your wife, there's a proper additional way and a more appropriate way that the Chazal said you should do this by first having Maimer, being Makadishur, so to say, sanctifying the relationship and then completing the relationship, consummating the relationship. So that's the proper way, and that's what it means over here, that if you don't do this, you get Malkus Mardus, you get rabbinical lashes, which in some ways are even stricter than Malkus Deraisa, and this is a Din Derabbanan. Now the Gemara gives us examples of other situations where Malkus Mardus, Malkus Midrabbanon, were applied for people that went against what Chazal said is the right way to do certain things in regards to a marriage. So the Rav, Mangid, Rav, the great Rav, would give lashes. Mangid means to give lashes. Malkus Derabbanon, Malkus Mardus, Mandib Mekadesh Bevia. If a man would go and marry a woman via Bia, so while that technically works, right? The famous Mishnah in Kedusha, we're not that far away from learning it. It's at the end of this Seder of Noshim, and we're still the very first Masechta of Noshim, but it's not that far away. It's going to tell us that Isha Niklis, Bishlosh Dvar, a woman can be married with three things, Kesef Shtar Ubiya, by giving her a ring or the equivalent of Kesef, Shava Pruta, or by Ishtar. We'll learn a little bit about that in today's shiur, upcoming shiurim as well. And in addition, you can be Makadosh a woman by just having relations with her. But he says that's inappropriate. And Rav would give lashes to somebody that was Makadosh a woman just by Bia. Likewise, he also said it was inappropriate, Uman de Makadosh Beshuka, if a man would go and do the act of Kiddushin in an inappropriate setting, like the marketplace. The marketplace is not a holy type of a scenario. You do a kiddushin in a more b'chavadik type of a setting, not in the marketplace like you're buying a chicken. So therefore, he felt that that was demeaning, and therefore he would give lashes to somebody that was makadish, the woman, the first stage of marriage, in a marketplace. And likewise, umam de makadish below shiduchay. He would go and give malchus mardus, he would give rabbinical lashes to somebody that didn't have arrange the marriage. Shiduchi means that, yes, we're going to do on such and such a date, we're going to have the wedding, we're going to do everything in Kedas V'chadin. So if you didn't have this, like, Tanoim, if you didn't set up the marriage beforehand, and you just ran into the marriage, so to say, without the Shiduchi, without the proper agreement to go and marry it beforehand, so he said that's also inappropriate, and therefore Rab would give lashes for that as well. And likewise, in other scenarios, not here so much with marriage, but related to marriage, he would give lashes to somebody, Uman de Mavatal Gita. If somebody sent a shaliach to give a get to his wife, Rahman al-Hassan means divorcing his wife. So he sends a shaliach to give the get to his wife. Now that's a valid get, it was written properly, but he can be Mavatale. So the shaliach goes, Yankel the shaliach goes, and is going to give Rachel the get from her husband Reuven. And meanwhile, Reuven is Mavatal the shlichus. So now this get cannot be given. But the shliach Yankel doesn't know that, and he gives the get, which he states is a valid get, to the wife of Reuven. She says, I'm now a divorced woman, she has the get, and a year later she gets married to somebody else. And meanwhile, her husband's laughing all the way, and he says, ah, you're an ashes ish, because I was mevatel the get, and now you're an adulteress, I don't have to pay you the kesuba, etc., etc. He turns this into a joke. So, in fact, while he technically had the right to be mevatel the shlichus, and technically, min hadin, he could have been mevatel the get, Rav said, don't do this. It's a terrible thing. It could lead to a terrible takola. And he would give lashes to somebody who did this. Likewise, uman demasa modah gita. Likewise, when a person writes again, it has to be of his free will. So this person wants to go get his wife again into trouble. He doesn't like her. Obviously, they're getting divorced. So he writes a get. But when he goes in front of three people, as he's writing the get, or before he gives the get, he tells these three people, this is under duress, I'm being forced to do this, and I want you to know, I'm making a modah over here, I'm telling you that this get is not being given of my free will, and therefore it's an invalid get. So, halachically speaking, that is allowed, and this get is not a valid get. But again, nobody else knows this, and the wife is going to get this get, she's going to think she's now a pnuya, she's eligible to get married, she's going to get married to somebody else, and it's going to turn out that it's an adulterous relationship still, because she's still married to her first husband. So again, Rav said, while you technically are allowed to make this modah, which is appropriate in certain situations where a person's really being forced to write a get, but here he's not being forced to write a get, and he makes this no dar, so Rav would give lashes to such a person. Likewise, Rav would give lashes with mandif pokir shlicho de rabbanon. A couple of different ways to translate the word pokir. Basically, gives a hard time, or he acts chutzbedik to the shlich of basin. The shlich of basin comes to him with a summons to come to court, and he pokes fun, or he makes fun of, or he makes it difficult for this shlich of basin. He causes him distress. So somebody who does this, Rav would give lashes to such a person. How dare you treat a shlich basin in that way? And likewise, uman deshoy shamto de rabbanon alei flossin yomim. Likewise, Rav would give lashes to somebody who based and put him into a nidur, yashamta, into a form of cherem, a certain type of excommunication, which has halacha l'maaseh ramifications. People aren't allowed to go within dalet amos of him. Doesn't count for certain things in the tzibur, etc., etc. So a person says, hey, this is great. I'll stay like this. I'm having a very good time. So this person who doesn't do something about this and just lets it be in cherem, in this nidoy, for more than 30 days. So Rav will give him malchus. How dare you be in this state of nidoy or shamta, which is inappropriate for a person to be in? You should go to the Beis Din that excommunicated you and say, I'm sorry. You have to obviously have charata. You have to have regret about what you did. You have to do tshuva for what you did, whatever it is that they put you into this shamta. And therefore, somebody that doesn't have this regret, Rav will give him malchus. How dare you stay in this shamta without trying to get rid of it in the beyond 30 days? And finally, the last one that Rav would give lashes to, that it says, Yal Chasana, about a son-in-law, the Dora de Bei Chamoy, that lived in his father-in-law's house. There's always a concern, Rachmon and Litzlan, that the son-in-law and the mother-in-law might unfortunately have an attraction towards each other. Rachmon and Litzlan go and do a terrible, terrible Aveira. So he would say, don't live in that setting. Don't let the son-in-law live in the same house as his in-laws, because it could lead Rachmon and Litzlan to inappropriate behavior. Rachmon and Litzlan. And therefore, Rav would give lashes to somebody who did that. Now, the Gemara asks on this last statement, it said, Dador. Dador means to live there in the house. So Rav would only give lashes if they actually lived together, the dar, in. However, the chalav, he just would come over every now and then. Lo, Rav wouldn't give lashes to such a person. But there were questions. But once he did, v'ahal, the chalav, abava, devei, chamohi, the nagde, Rav Sheshes. One time there was a son-in-law that just went occasionally, he just passed by, so to say, the chalav, abava, devei, chamohi. He just passed by the house of his in-laws, and nevertheless, Rav Sheshes gave him lashes. But we just said that Rav would only give lashes if they lived there, not if they just passed by. So how come Rav Sheshes gave lashes in this situation? So Gemara says, no, because Nebuch, unfortunately, over here, there was already Raglayim Ledover. There was a cause for suspicion over here. How Meidam Havadoy Mechamase, that Nebuch, that son-in-law, was already suspected that Rachmana Lassan, he was carrying on inappropriately with his mother-in-law, and therefore, as a result of that, as Rashi says, Chashuda Hoiso Chamoso Mimenu. And therefore, the father-in-law said, I don't want him over here. You shouldn't be in this situation with my wife. And therefore, Rav Sheshes gave him lashes when this son-in-law didn't listen appropriately and went there anyway. And therefore, there was a reglayim ledover, there was a suspicion already, and that's why Rav Sheshes gave him lashes. This is the first version of the Gemara. However, the Gemara says, Nardai Amrei, in the base medrash of the Nardayin, they said, Bechulo lo man gid Rav, Ella lemekadish bebia ubelo shiduche. They said differently. They said Rav didn't give lashes for all of those things that you mentioned. The only one he gave lashes for was if somebody went and was mekadish a woman bebia without making the prior arrangements beforehand. In other words, there was no real wedding. They just took the woman home and they had relations in the house. And they said now we're man and wife. So min hadin, he is koneh her as his wife. However, Rav in that situation, because they didn't have the preparatory arrangements, they didn't have the tanaim, they didn't have the whole shiduche process. So therefore, Rav gave lashes in that situation. That's the first version of the Nardoi's version of what Rav said. The second version of what the Nardoi said is as follows: Vika the Amrei, afilu b'tishiduche nami mishum pritzusa. Even if they did shiduchim, they did the proper preparatory stuff, but they didn't have kiddushin in the normal sense of the word. They just went straight to consummating the marriage. They just went straight to bia, to be kona him and her together as husband and wife by having relations. So Rav said, even if you had the prior appropriate shiduchim, so you did have an arrangement, the tanoim, to do this, but that's still inappropriate to get married without the full kiddushin and then nisuin, and then taking her home. So therefore, this, in this situation, Rav would also give lashes for this as well. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, Kate said Maimer. How do you actually go, the Brisa says, and do Maimer? What is Maimer? So the Gemara says, Nosin lo kesef, o shava kesef. A person gives the wife a ring, kesef or shava kesef, something the equivalent of a pruta. We have a bachlokus, how much it has to be. A bachlokus beisil beishamay. We pass it like zilah, has to be a shava pruta. So you either give her something that's a shava pruta, some ring. That's the common way that it's done today for various reasons. And they always ask the Eidei Kiddushin, is this ring worth a penny? And they say, yes, it's Shava Pruta. So therefore, the woman knows that she's getting a Shava Pruta. You don't make a very, very fancy ring because you don't want the woman to mistakenly think she's getting engaged. Only she's getting married, the first stage of marriage over here, only because this ring's worth $1 million. And then it turns out that it was not worth $1 million, and she'll say it's a Mekach Tos. So that's why they always have the ring, a very plain, simple ring. It's worth more than a Shava Pruta, but everybody knows it's not worth thousands and thousands of dollars. It's worth a couple $100 at most, if not even less. So therefore, it's worth a Shava Pruta, but not that much more. The woman definitely is getting engaged, first stage of marriage, really, with the acceptance of this ring. So she is now mikudeshes. So therefore, you normally give a kesef or shava kesef. Or you can give actual money that's worth a pruta, or you can give a shava kesef like we do with the ring. Then the Gemara asks, ubishtar, if you want to go as the second way, isha niklis bekesef shtar ubiyot. Shtar is perfectly good, even though that's not the way we normally do it. One nevertheless can give a shtar which says with his document. Now the shava pruta is not there. The piece of paper that it's written on is not worth a penny. So you're not giving her the piece of paper as shava pruta, but the document is what effectuates the first stage of the marriage. And that is, with this document, I'm officially making you my wife. So when he gives over the shtar, she becomes his wife. So now we're asking, with Yibum, we just explained by Mimer, it's the kesef or shava kesef, same by Kiddushin. What does the shtar say? Bishtar, how do you do this? Bishtar ketzad. So where it says, Bishtar ketzad, kidam orin. This is the regular way that a person writes a shtar. Kosav lo ala niyar, ala cheres. The husband writes on a piece of paper or on a piece of pottery, earthenware. It's not worth the shava pruta. Apa pish ein bo shava pruta. And he says, he writes on this document, Harei at mikudeshes li, by taking this document. And then when he hands it over to her, so she acquires the document, and therefore she's mikudeshes based upon that document. So what are you asking? Why would you think that the shtar for a yavama is any different than the shtar for a regular woman? So it says, no, here's why. Oh, my bai. Hachikomer, this is the question we're asking. Shtar kesubas yabin ketzat. How do you go right the ksuba of the yabin, not the shtar to get her married? That's no different than any other shtar. With this document, you're now my wife. So the question is, what is the ksuba for the yavama? How is that different than a regular ksuba? So that's a little bit slightly different. So the Gemara says, kosif lo, you write on this, the shtar ksuba, ano ploni bar ploni, I so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. That's the person who is the yavam. He writes down in this document, kabilis yas plonis yavimti alai, I have accepted to get married through yibam with this woman, and she will be my wife. And I will go and do all the things that the ksuba says. It doesn't go through the entire modern-day ksuba that we have, but it includes lazun. I'm going to go and give her support, give her food, ulafarnosa. I'm going to go and make sure that she has all the things that she needs, give her food, or give her clothing, and kirayit, like a Jewish woman is supposed to get. And he adds on one thing that's different from a regular ksuba. Uvavad shetei ksubasa al nifse balor rishon. Technically, this ksuba is all going to be paid if the lien on it is from the Reuven, the dead brother, his property. So the ksuba is paid out from Reuven's property. Shimon could have separate properties that technically are not mishubad to the ksuba, because the ksuba is because of Reuven, so therefore he gets Reuven's property, and Reuven's property is going to be the lien on this ksuba. Now, what happens if Reuven never was a pauper? The less law may be shown, if Reuven was a pauper and he doesn't have any property, so we don't want this woman not to have a ksuba, because otherwise it's very easy for him to get rid of her. They get into a fight, he'll say, okay, you're free, here's $10. That's all the ksuba Reuven had in his pocket. He was a very poor person, he died destitute. So here's $10, and now you're ice my wife. So it'd be very easy, Rachman al-Islan, for Shimon to go and divorce her. So therefore, Takinu l'Rabban and Misheni. Therefore, the rabbi said, when Reuven's estate doesn't have any property in it, so then, technically, yes, the ksuba should come from Reuven's estate. The lien on the estate is for the ksuba, but if there is no estate, so then we made a takana that Shimon has to pay the ksuba from his own pocket. Why is that? Kadesh lo te kala b'yeno lotzia. Because as I just said, if the whole ksuba was only $10 that Reuven had in the estate, so then Shimon at any point in time say, okay, I don't need you anymore. Goodbye. So therefore, if it's not going to cost him $100,000 to get rid of her, he'll think twice before he just dismisses her. And he'll only dismiss her, he'll only divorce her, Rachmana Litzlan, if the marriage really is a problem. But he won't divorce her out of, so to say, ease or convenience, because there's no real financial disincentive. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Boy mine Abaye mi Rabba, Abaye es Rabba the following Shiloh. No son lo get v'yomar. If the Yavam goes and gives the Yavama a get. Again, that's not the right way to do it. He's supposed to give her chalitza if he doesn't want to marry her. And he says, Hareyat Megureshes Himeni, but he says in this get that you're not allowed to get married to somebody else. V'at Muteris Chlodom. Now, one of the essential components, if you wish, of a kosher or get in a real marriage situation is that there has to be a total krisus, a get krisus. There has to be a total separating between the husband and the wife. And the get cannot in any way still bind her to him. So if he gives her a get that says, you're no longer married to me, but you can't go and marry the following 10 people, or that you're not allowed to marry somebody else, then that get is worthless. That's not a good get. So what happens by the get that's given to a Yavama? Do we say that that's a good get in terms of asring the Yavama from now marrying him? If it's not a good get, so then she still could do Yibam with him. If he changes his mind, she would still be able to do Yibam with him if the get wasn't a valid get. So here, this get would not be a valid get in regards to a regular husband and wife. Is it a valid get in regards to Yibam? Because he says in this, but you can't marry somebody else, so it's not a valid get. So do we say over here, Mao, what is the right approach to this? Do we say, get Yavama the Rabbaninu? The whole idea that the get can work is it in the Rabbanin, because the only way you break up the Zika is either by Yibum or Chalitza. And by saying that the Zika is somewhat broken by giving of a get, that's a din derabanan. And therefore, get the mahani be'eshes ish, mahani be'yavama. In order for it to be a proper get, it should only be a get that would work for an eshes ish. In other words, a full cutting of the ties between the two of them. So that is going to work by an eshes ish, and that's going to work by yavama. Get the lo mahani be'eshes ish, lo mahani be'yavama. But a get that doesn't work for an Eish Ish, therefore it wouldn't work for Yavam as well. And therefore, it's as if he didn't give her a get. Or do we say, we say, no. If you say that this get is no good, so then people might think that a regular get is no good, and you still can do Yibam after even a regular get. So therefore, maybe they said, in this situation, since it could be confused with a regular get, and a regular get would work, but this get doesn't work, so therefore they said, no, this get works as well, to no longer allow Yibam to be done. That's what Abaye asked Rabbah. How do we view this inappropriate get for a regular married woman? Do we say that it does prevent Yibam from now occurring, or does it not? So Rabbah responds to Abaye, and he says as follows, Amalei, Chayshinon Dilma Osi Liyechlufei Begito. We are, in fact, concerned that this could be mistaken, that people will now think that a regular get doesn't work as well, and therefore, even though this get would not normally work, we say that here it does work to no longer allow Yibam to be done. The Gemara questions this and says, however, Masiv lo Rabba bar Chanon el Mayata, then in this situation, even if it gives her a piece of paper that doesn't have anything written on it, you should say, Osir Lechlufi Begita, Yov lo Niyara bi Alma, Tochanami de Posla, by giving her a piece of paper so people can say, oh, he gave her a get, and just like she's still allowed to Yibam after that, you're allowed to do Yibam after giving her a regular full-fledged get. So maybe you should be concerned just by giving her a piece of paper, even though there's nothing written on it. People are going to make the mistake and think that that was a kosher get. So Gemara says, no, Amalei. Abaye says to Rabba Bar Chanan, he says, no, Hasam lo pasil b'kahuna. What would be the regular case if a woman got a piece of paper from her husband? Her husband gives his wife a piece of paper. People are going to say, oh, he gave her a piece of paper. Oh, that was a divorce. And now she's a divorcee and she's not allowed to marry a Kohen? No, of course not. Hasam lo pasil b'kahuna. If a husband gives his wife a piece of paper, we don't say, oh, you have to be choshes, so people mistakenly think that that was a get, and therefore she's psula to marry a Kohen. It doesn't even have what's called the reyach of a get. It doesn't even have the smell of a get. But in this situation, where you give a woman a get that is not a good get, for example, you wrote Hareat Megureshes Himeni, the I'at Muteris Chol Adam, so that has the reyach of a get, and if a woman were to receive that, she's still a married woman, but Hocha Kapasil B'Kahuna, she would not be allowed to go marry a Kohen anymore once she does get a full divorce. Because the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, the Pasuk says, V'Yisha Grusha Me'Yisha Lo Yikachu, it says that a woman who is divorced only from her husband, Me'Yisha, from her husband, Lo Yikachu, then she's not allowed to go and marry a Kohen. What does it mean? She's only divorced from her husband. So it tells us, Afilu Nisgarsha Ela Me'Yisha, this get was written, Hareat Mekureshes Hemeni, but the I'at Muteris Chol Adam, you still can't marry anybody else, so that's not a valid get. But it did, so to say, make her Grusha Me'Yisha, she is divorced from her husband, albeit not halachically so. So therefore, lo yikachu, once this get was given, so then even though she's not yet divorced, when she does ultimately get divorced, or if her husband were to die, she's still considered a gerusha, and v'hainu reyach haget sheposa b'chuna. This is enough of a reyach haget, it has the sniff, the smell of a get, that she wouldn't be allowed to go marry a kohen anymore, even though it's not a valid get, but at least it looks a little bit like a get, as opposed to just giving her a piece of paper that doesn't even have the reyach of a get on it, and wouldn't passel her from the kohen if her husband once gave her a piece of paper. Rashi does point out, we're talking here, in addition, if the Kohen himself was the one married to, so if he gave her this get that says you're divorced from me, but you're not allowed to go marry anybody else, so that has a reach of a get, and he's no longer allowed to be married to her. But if he just gave her a piece of paper, even though he said, you're divorced from me with this piece of paper, but the piece of paper has nothing written on it, so then it's not even considered a reach of a get. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, Hari Amru, Amar Echod Lelablor. Rabbi Muhammad said that if a person said to the person writing a get, he wrote to the Lavlo, to the scribe, Kisov get le'arusasi, I am now first stage of marriage with a woman. So he has Kiddushin, he has Erisin. Kiddushin and Erisin are interchangeable. And he says, write me a get that I will give to my wife after I take her to Chuppah. L'she'ech nisena agarshena. And with this get that you're writing now, after I go take her in Chuppah, I'm going to go and divorce her. Now, incidentally, Rashi points out, Tosfos says the same thing as Rashi over here, according to Rashi, that you're not allowed to do this l'chatchila, but b'di'evet, if you gave such a get, then it is a kosher get, b'di'evet. But you shouldn't live with your wife after you've written a get for her. That normally would make that get not a good get, but b'di'evet, after the fact, it is a good get. So back to Agamar. He tells the sofer, the lablar, the scribe, that write this get for me now. He's already had the first day of the marriage, and he says, write a get for my wife, and I will give it to her after I consummate the marriage. So in this situation, the Gemara says, Hare is a get. It is a valid get. Why? Because right now, he could take that get and give it to her because they had the first stage of marriage, and therefore, he could divorce her right now if he wanted to, so therefore, it can work for a later point in time after the Nisuin has taken place. But, as opposed to, when we turn to Nunbeis or Mitbeis, Le'isha Ba'ama, if a man says, I'm going to go marry that lady, but I'm going to write her a get right now. Right now, he's not married to her. So, he sees Chan in the street, he says, oh, I think I'm going to go ask her to marry me, but I'm going to write a get now, that after I live with her for, you know, a month or two, I'm going to go and divorce her. So, that get, in that situation, ain't get. It's not a good get. Why? Because right now, he can't give her a get, because they're not married. So, the difference is, when they had the first stage of marriage, he technically could go and divorce her right now because they're already married. But a woman who he's not yet married to, he can't write a get for right now, that would not be a valid get. What does it have to do with our Gemara right now? So based upon this, boy, Rami Bar Chama, he asked the following shaila. Rami Bar Chama, he asked, Liyavim Tomahu, if a person were to write up a get for his Yavama, and he says, I'll give it to her after I do Yibam. So is that considered that they're already considered married in a certain way? Is the Zika a certain level of marriage that would be like the Arusa who he could write a get for her while she's in Arusa and give it to her after she's in the Suah? So can you write a get for the Yavama? Is there a connection? Is it like an Arusa already or not? Is it like the woman who's the Isha Ba'alma? So that's the question that Rabbi Bar Chama asks. Do we say, Kivon the Agidabe, since there's a Zika, there is a connection already between the Yavama and the Yavam, Ki Arusa Sudami, that makes her like an Arusa, and therefore if he were to write a get at that point in time and only give it to her after they had Yibam, it would still be a valid get. Or do we say, no, El Dilma, Kivan Delo Ovid B'Maimer, if he didn't do Maimer with her, so all this is a Zika. And the Zika is not enough to make it that they're considered an Eishes Ish in any way, shape, or form. And therefore, this would be like Ish will be Alma that he writes a get for, and lo, it's not a good get. And the word says, Teiku, you have to wait till Eliyahu comes, Tishbi Yataritz Kushos V'Yabayos, that Eliyahu will come and tell us what the halacha is in this situation. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Boy Reb Chananya is the following Shiloh, Kosav Get Lizzi Koso. The situation here is as follows. Shimon is the Yavam, and Reuven's wife, Reuven dies, Reuven's wife Rachel falls to Shimon, and he does Maimer with her. So Shimon did Maimer with Rachel. And now he says, no, I decided to change my mind, I don't want to marry her. So he writes, Kosav get lezikoso. He writes a get to remove the Zika relationship, but he didn't write the get with the intention that it should remove the Maimer, the Lola Mamaro. So what is the situation in this case? Is it considered a valid get or not? Limaimaro, or vice versa. He writes the get only for the Maimer, but not the Lola Zikoso, but not to remove the Zika. Mahu, in both of these situations, what is the halacha? Is this get going to be a valid get to make it that they no longer can do Yibam or not? So, this is the question. do we say that Maimar Ilave Zika Karami, that the Maimar comes on top of the already pre-existing Zika? As soon as Reuven dies, there's a Zika. She falls in Yibum to Shimon, and then he gives Maimar that's on top of that. And therefore, Vahavale, now when he gives only one of the two, he either gives her the get for the Maimar, or he gives her the get only for the Zika, only for one of the two, Vahavale, Kimagari Shchatzisha. And therefore, in this situation, it's only as if he's divorcing a half of his wife. Since he's only saying the get should work only for the Zika or only for the Maimar, so he's not totally removing the connection to this woman. That accomplishes nothing. If a person writes a get to his wife, a regular case of Gerish, and he writes, you're half divorced from me, so she's zero divorced. You can't half divorce. So therefore, in this situation as well, if he only gave a get for the Maimar, but not for the Zika, or he only gave a get for the Zika, but not for the Maimar, so then it accomplishes nothing. That's one side of the coin that Rabbi Hanani asked this question. Alternatively, the other side of the coin, Ode Omar, no, they're two separate things. The Zika is one thing, and the Maimar is another thing. And he has the ability to go and remove one of the two, because they're not connected. The Zika is one relationship. The Maimar was a separate relationship. And therefore, if he gives a get for one of the two, it can remove that one of the two. The other one will still be there, but it removes one of the two. What's the nafkamina? So Rashi explains over here that the nafkamina would be if there were other brothers. So let's say there's a Levi or Yehuda. So if, in fact, Shimon gave the get for the Maimer, so then that only changes the relationship with him and her in regards to the Maimer. It doesn't affect the Zika at all. And therefore, the other brothers could still do Yibam with her if they wish to. But if he gives the get for the Zika, so that ruins the Zika, not only for him, but that would ruin the Zika for all the other brothers as well. So that would be the ramifications, the nafkamina, if you hold that the two are two separate statuses. The Zika is one status, the Maimer is a second status, and you could, via the get, remove one without impacting the other. As opposed to the first way we understood it was, they're one right on top of the other, and if you try to remove one without removing the other, it doesn't work at all. So that's the question that Rabbi Hananya asked. So the Gemara says, "V'tif shot lemi the Rava." Why don't we answer this for what Rava said? The Amar Rava, what did Rava say? Nosan get limamara, if the person only gave a get for the Maimer, but didn't give it for the Zika, hutra sarasa. In that situation, Rava said, okay, that removed the Maimer, so the relationship between Shimon and her from the Maimer point is gone, but Shimon cannot do Yibum with her because now it's his Grushaso, but the other brother, Levi, the Zika was not impacted at all. It was just the Maimer that was impacted. That has nothing to do with Levi. And as Rashi points out over here, this is a case we had previously on Daf Lamed Beis, Gabi Zikas Beis Yamim Gimul Achin Nisuyin Gimul Nochrios, where you have the three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, are married each to three unrelated women, Gimel Nachrios, Umeis Echomi, and Reuven dies. Biosa Basheni Maimer, Shimon did Maimer with Reuven's widow, Rachel, Umeis, and then he died before they completed that marriage. Harelu Chonsos, in that situation, Levi has to give Chalitza to both of them because this Maimer created a sort of a relationship already with Shimon, and now when Levi would go do Yibum with her, she's really falling from both Shimon's house and from Reuven's house. And Rava said on that, the Kama Rava Allah. And the Bach points out, this is on Daf Lamed Beis Omid Aleph. And he says, Rava said over here, if Shimon Nosan get the Mamoro, and then V'yachak HaKbeis, and only after he died, so now, Hutra Ishto Rishona. Now, Rachel, Reuven's widow, Shehit Tzoroso Li'echo Vasheni, which for a period of time was a little bit of a tzara with Shimon's wife, Leah, in that situation, would normally have not been allowed to go and have Yibam done with Levi. Both of them would require Chalitza. But here, since the Maimer was removed with a get, the lav get, have a suralav, but since there was a get over here, it's not called Zika Shnei Yabnin anymore. Amo ha'iluchude koi, midahani get, liyishtore tzarosu li'ochev asheni. So here, Levi would be allowed to go and have Yibam with Reuven's widow, Rachel. So Rava clearly said this. So the Amar Rava, Nasa get the Amar Rava, Huto Tzaraso. So why don't we answer Rabbi Hanani's question with this statement of Rava? So the Gemara says, very simple, the Rava Pshitale, Rava knew the answer to this. However, Rabbi Hanani didn't agree with Rava. The Rabbi Hanania Miboyle, he said, I'm not sure that Rava is correct. My. So he's saying, what is the halacha? And the Gemara leaves it with a teiku. The Gemara says, Taka, Rabbi Hanania is pointing out that we're not clear on what this halacha is. I have to wait again until Elio comes. That's what the Gemara says in regards to Rabbi Hananya. However, we in fact do paskin like Rava. Rava's Basroi, and we do in fact paskin like Rava. Then in this situation, Levi would be permitted to the tzara of the woman who had undergone Maimer and then a get. In other words, Levi would be able to do Yibam if he wished to with Reuven's widow, Rachel. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Cholatz, if the Yavam did Chalitza and then the Osa Maimer, but they did Maimer after the Chalitza, so he said, Ein Achar Chalitza Klum. So Gemara says, this is only according to Rabbi Akiva. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Ein Kiddushin Tovsim B'chayri Labin. This only goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says that once the woman is a Chalitza to him, he's also the marrier. It's a lav. And therefore, the Kiddushin wouldn't be Tovfes in such a situation, and therefore the Maimer is not Tovfes. However, Avol Chachamim Omrim, in this situation, if he did Maimer, so it is Tovfes. Yesh Acha Chalitza Klum. And then there would be, after the Chalitza, this Maimer does work, and the Kedushin do take effect, because the Kedushin are Tofis on a lav, and therefore, he would have to give her a get. We wouldn't let them live together. However, the Kedushin would be Tofis. Shmuel says, Umi Matzis Mukmis Lok Rabbi Akiva, are you really going to learn our Mishnah only in according with Rabbi Akiva's opinion? V'oktani Reisha, it said in the beginning, Nosan get, if you gave a get, and then the Osa Maimer, Tzricha get the Chalitza. That situation, you gave the get, so that breaks apart the Zika, and you're going to have to do Chalitza because it doesn't break it totally apart. But now he gives Maimer, so you're going to have to give a get for the Maimer. So it said, Tzricha get v'chalitza. But according to Rabbi Akiva, you shouldn't have to give a get because the Maimer doesn't take effect after the first get was given. It's a lav. The Rabbi Akiva, keeping the Avlo get, so that removed the Zika, and now there's a lav to go married to it, so the Maimer couldn't take effect. Mi mahani ba Maimer. But Tanya, it says Befeirish, Kiva Omer, Minayin Lenosin Get Liyavimto, Shenasra Olav Olamis. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that if you give a get to the Yavama, that's it. There's now a lav on you to ever marry her again. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Lo Yucha Baal Harishon Asher Shulcha, the first husband who divorced her is never allowed to take her again as a wife. Mishanisis Liacher. Achar Shiluach. This means that after there just was a divorce, he's not allowed to marry her at all. In what case is that talking about? So it says, Lo yuchal balo rishon asher shulcha. The words asher shulcha is unnecessary. Of course, it means he divorced her. So it's teaching us in a case over here where he just got rid of her from the state of yibam, he's never allowed to marry her again. So Rabbi Akiva clearly holds that there's a lav over here. So how could there be maimer taking effect afterwards? So how can you say that this is Rabbi Akiva? So Rav Ashi says, no, the whole thing is the din midrabanan. Get yavmin is midrabanan. Even Rabbi Akiva says that this is not a din daraisa. I would just brought a pasuk down. The pasuk's in a smachta, ukra smachta bi alma. He's just using this as a darshaning tool to make his point midrabanan. But even Rabbi Akiva says that this mimer would be tofes because the whole din of a get removing the zika, that is only a din derabanan. Get Yabin, that's a midrabanan. And therefore, this pasuk, that you can't go and have the Kedushin Tofes, that's not really a din daraisa, because the whole din over here is derabanan, and the Kedushin are Tofes, and this pasuk is just an asmachta, cross smachta bi alma. And I show you this is right, where it says Tani Nam Yochi, because it says in the Braisa this idea. Amar Rebbe says that our Mishnah, Ein Hadram Halalu Amurim, that Ein Acha Chalitza Klum, is only Ela Ladivri Rabbi Akiva. It's only going into the words of Rabbi Akiva, who says, Shayose Chalutza Kierva, because he made the Chalutza mid the Araisa, like an Erva, that she is also mid the Araisa, and therefore the Kedushin are in Tofes. However, Abo Chachamim Omrim, Yesh Acha Chalitza Klum. But the Chachamim say, no, this is not a Kare situation, it's only a lav, and according to Chachamim, the Kedushin are tofsin in a lav situation, so therefore, the Maimer after the Chalitza is going to make her, albeit you have to give a get, Yeshach HaChalitza Klum. In fact, there is after the Chalitza, you could effectuate a marriage, albeit that marriage is Aser, and has to be broken apart, but the Kedushin are tofes. So that's what Rebbe says, that this is machlokas between the opinion of Rebbe Akiva and the Chachamim. However, I personally, Vaniyomer, Rebbe's own personal opinion is a masai. When do we say that after Chalitza, the Maimer does work, Bisman Shekitsha L'shum Ishus, if he gave her not Maimer as a din of Yibam, but he gave her Kiddushin. This Maimer that he gives her was to be Makadisha like a regular woman. In that situation, the Kiddushin are Tofes. However, if he did this thinking that you can still be miyabim her, avokitsho l'shum yadmos, he gave her maimer with the understanding that this would work as a preliminary act before yibam, so the maimer is directly part of the yibam, so then even Rebbe would say, ein acha chalitza klum. Then, once you do chalitza, there is no zika, so you can't do yibam, you can't do maimer of yibam. Albeit, if he gave her kiddushin, thinking that that was a regular kedusha, nothing to do with yibam, then it would be tofes on chayvi labim, and therefore Rebbe says in that situation, after chalitza, you would have the possibility over here of needing a get, the maimer, i.e. kedushin, l'shem ishus, did take effect. Another brayse says Tanya Ido Chacholetz Liyavimto V'Chozav V'Kidsha. If somebody did chalitza to his yivama, so that's it, end of the relationship. But then he was makadisha. So this brayse says the same thing. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says what we just pointed out now. Ani Omer, this brayse says Im Kidsha L'Shem Ishus. If when he gave her this kiddushin, it was L'Shem Ishus, nothing to do with the previous yibum ziko relationship, but he gave her L'Shem Ishus. So Tzrichem, and again, then it is tofes according to Rebbe, and they would now need a get. They're not allowed to stay married because you're not allowed to go and marry the chalutza. It's a lav, but the kedushin on a tofes, and you'd have to divorce her, but you'd have to divorce her with a get. But if you thought mistakenly, oh, I gave chalitza, but I changed my mind, that I still want to do yibum on her, and I'm only going to marry her al yibum, and he gives her maimer for yibum purposes, l'shum yabmus, so then Rebbe holds, ain't tzrichem in a get, because this is not tofes in this situation. Whereas the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, the Chachamim omrim, bein shekitcher l'shum ishus, bein shekitcher l'shum yadmus, tzricho hemenu get. The Chachamim hold, no, your intention over here is irrelevant. The chalitza did not destroy anything afterward that could, in fact, be a marriage. Whether the marriage is l'shem yadmus, l'shem ishus, makes no difference. Going to the Chachamim, the kiddushin take effect on a lav, and therefore you need a get, albeit. Everybody says you can't live together because you're over a lav. Now, Amar Yosef, Yosef says, what's the rationale over here for Rebbe? Rebbe says, L'shem Yab must know, L'shem Ishus, yes, my time with the Rebbe. Why is that? Because Asuha ki oder v'nichse ager u'kisavur shalohein. This is the situation where if a ger dies and he has no children, so then he has technically nobody yarshing him. A ger is kekot in shenola adami, a convert is considered a brand new person as if he's born now, and he has no parents. So therefore, he only can have Yerusha going down. If he doesn't get married and have children, so then there's nobody Yarsh in the Ger. So when a Ger dies, his property is ownerless. So anybody that go makes a Kinyan in the property acquires that property. One of the ways you make a Kinyan in the property is by plowing it, by Oder, going and plowing that property, going and taking a hoe and digging in the property. So in this situation, if a person is Oder, Benichsi Ager, he normally would acquire it. But that's only if he intends to go and acquire it. But he thinks this is his property and he's hoeing his own property, so then he doesn't acquire it. So that's exactly the scenario over here. Rav Yosef wants to say that Rebbe says when you're doing L'shem Yabmus, you're mistakenly thinking that it works, but it doesn't. So that's like you think that you're plowing in your own field. You can't make a kinyan in the Nichsei Ager. As opposed to if you're doing L'shem Ishus, so that's like making a kinyan in Nichsei Ager. It does work. So therefore, in this situation where he's doing it L'shem Yabmus, Rabbi Yosef says, Rebbe would hold, Asua ka'odah b'nichsi ager uksavish lohein, the low kani. He thinks he's doing the hoeing in his own field, so he's not intending to make a kinyan over here, and therefore he doesn't make a kinyan in the nichsi ager. Rabbi Yosef doesn't have agreement with everybody. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, me, Dami, are the two cases comparable? Awesome. In the case where you're hoeing, lo komechavi l'mikne, he didn't intend to go and be kohen anything. He says, I'm plowing, I'm hoeing in my own field. I'm not trying to make a kinyan in the guy. Whereas here, when the man gives the kiddushin al shem yadmus, he is intending to make a kinyan. He's intending to go and have her be his wife. Hocha komechavi lemikli. So the two cases are incomparable. So if you are going to say that the cases are like each other, that they're similar, the case of Rebbe saying that if you gave it l'shum yadmus, it doesn't work, l'shem ishus, it does work, and how you acquire your property from a ger who dies without any inheritors, so holodamia, they would be comparable if you had the following case, Ella, la'odir b'nichsei ger zeh, u'chisav b'shol ger acheru. And in that situation, the kanei. Here we're talking about that if a person knows he's making a kinyan in property, but he has the wrong property, he thinks this belongs to ger number one, but it really belongs to ger number two, so he didn't, in fact, make the right kinyan, nevertheless, the kanei, that would work. So to over here, even though he didn't make the right kinyan, he made it l'shem yabmus, so it still should work, so that can't be exactly the reasoning behind Rebbe. So therefore, Abaye rejects what Rav Yosef said. Elam Abaye, Abaye says, this is what the case is analogous to. Hachmei Eskin, you know what we're dealing with over here? Kegon, the Omar law. This person said to the woman, Hiskachi li b'maimer yabmin. I want you to go and become my wife with the maimer of yibum. And Rebbe says in this situation, Rebbe Sovar maimer the maimer is normally an attachment, an additional thing above the zika. And here, the Zika was removed by the chalitza. So the mimer has nothing to attach itself to. And therefore, that's why the mimer doesn't take effect, l'shem yabmus, because there's no Zika to attach itself to. Whereas the chacham say, no, Rabbanu Sabre, hai l'chudei koi, v'hai l'chudei koi. Each of them is a separate thing. The Zika is one thing, the mimer is another thing. Each one can take effect without the other one. And therefore, the chachamim say over here that even l'shem yabmus, it works. And therefore, meikara, before the person did chalitza, ilu amalo hiskachili b'maimer yavmin, if in fact, according to the chachamim, he said, before the chalitza, I want you to be miskadish to me with maimer yavmin, so of course that would work. Milo mahani, of course that would work. And therefore, hashdanami mahani. And therefore, even after the zika was broken apart, ha l'chudei, ha l'chudei, and therefore, the chachamim say, that's why the mimer does work, even if it's l'shem yabbos, whereas Rabbi holds, no, it doesn't work l'shem yabbos, because the two are connected. If there's no zika, then there can be no mimer. That's Abaye's teretz. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different teretz. He says, Eid yomalo b'mimer yabmin, if he says to her, I want to be marrying you with this mimer of yabmin, this is after the chalitza, so then kuli amalo pligi the mahanya. Then everybody would say that it is good. Then what is the machlokas over here between the chachamim and Rabbi, where he says to her, and he says, I want to be mekadesh you with the Zika of Yabmin. Now, the Zika was already broken. So Rabbi Sova, Rabbi holds, we turn to Nun Gimel Amin Aleph, Yesh Zika, there in fact was a Zika originally, and that Zika was broken, and therefore it doesn't work now. Yossi Chalitza, of course, la Zika, the Chalitza removed the original Zika, and therefore you can't be Makadish now with Zikas Yadmin, because the Zika is gone. As opposed to the Chacham say, Rabbanim Sabre, no, ain't Zika. We don't say that the Zika is the essential part, and therefore Meikara, originally, Elo Meloskashli Bezikas Yadmin, it worked then, Milo Mahani, so to over here now, Hashtanami Mahani. The fact that the Zika is there or not, since originally it would have worked, so it works now as well. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. And Rabbi says, no, it only works when the Zika is there. Now, we actually have a couple more possible ways to understand the machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim, but this is a good break point, but this will conclude today's shir.